Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Children love to have books read to them. And because I said I was going to incorporate the children's sermon into the adult sermon, I want to read a very, very short story to you. It's a story from Anthony de Mello, a Jesuit priest originally from India, who has some really wonderful stories that help us understand the gospel. Here is a story that Anthony de Mello tells. He says that a man found an eagle's egg and put it in the nest of a barnyard hen. The eaglet hatched with the brood of chicks and grew up with them. All his life, the eagle did what the barnyard chicks did, thinking he was a barnyard chicken. Now, you got to imagine this, the eaglet acting like a chicken. He scratched the earth, looking for worms and insects. He clucked and cackled, and he would thrash his wings and fly a few feet into the air. You've seen chickens do that, right? Like jump into the trees. Years passed, and the eagle grew very old. One day, he saw a magnificent bird above him in the cloudless sky. It glided in graceful majesty among the powerful wind currents, with scarcely a beat of its strong golden wings. The old eagle looked up in awe. "Who's that?" he asked. "That's the eagle, the king of the birds," said his neighbor. "He belongs to the sky. We belong to the earth. We're chickens." So the eagle lived and died a chicken, for that's what he thought he was. Now, the story of the eagle that he saw is also a very interesting story. That one I didn't learn from Anthony de Mello. That one I learned from Desmond Tutu, the Bishop of South Africa. He says that there was once a farmer who found this stranded egg, and he put it in the nest with chicken eggs. And then, similarly to what happened here, when it hatched, out came this really strange-looking chicken, very ugly chicken. It was an eagle, of course. And so it grew up among the chickens, just like this other one, looking for insects and worms and trying to jump to the trees. Now, one day, a friend of the farmer came to visit, and they had a good game of, let's say, domino. I'm from Puerto Rico. We love domino. So they had a game of dominoes. And as they were playing, his friend looked at the strange-looking chicken, and he asked his friend, "What is that? What is that eagle doing there with the chickens?" And the other farmer said, "That's no eagle. That's just an ugly chicken." And the friend said, no, that's an eagle." And so they agreed that they would run a test. The next day at sunrise, they decided to go on top of a mountain and take the ugly chicken. And the friend of the farmer grabbed the ugly chicken in his arms, and then he whispered in his ears, "You're not a chicken. You are a beautiful eagle. Now fly, fly towards the sun." And then he threw the eagle. And then, of course, it started falling and started acting like a chicken. But then as it was falling, it started feeling the wind on its wings. And then it opened its wings. And then all of a sudden, it realized that it could fly. And then it started flying really high, really high. That's when the other chickens saw it. Is that not similar to what happened to the blind man in the story that we just heard? Is it not similar to how he was born with this disease? He was born among the outcast, not being able to see his worth and his dignity, just cast aside as if he was of less value than others? Is that not the story of this man? And in the same way that the eagle thought that he was just a chicken, this man also thought that he was of no value. He was just blind. He was outcast. Even his parents, in a sense, had distanced themselves from him. And along comes Jesus with his disciples. And the disciples look at him. And then they ask, "Who sinned, so that this man would be born blind. Did he sin or did his parents sin? Of course, in those days, many people believed that souls existed before they were born. And that's how you would be able to sin. You sin in another life. You sin before at some point. Or maybe it was because the parents had done something bad that the child had been born blind. But the point is that somebody must have sinned for this man to have been born blind. We kind of think like that too, don't we? We really have this tendency. Cognitive scientists call it like the causal operator. We have this thing in our minds that forces us to find a cause for everything. And so when something goes wrong, we always want to know why. Why? Why did this go wrong? What did I do wrong? And that can be difficult, particularly when we're dealing with health. There was a story a few days ago on NPR about a group of researchers at Johns Hopkins University that are doing research on cancer. And they were interested in addressing the question of how much of cancer is because of environmental factors, because pollution, the bad food that we eat, the poor choices that we make, and how much of cancer is inherited from parents, and how much of it is just because of random mutations. You know, our cells are constantly dividing, and every time that they divide, they replicate the DNA. And any of you that have ever, like, copied a document know that mistakes happen. So the same thing happens when the DNA is replicated. Sometimes there are mistakes, and very often they're benign. But every now and then, one of those mistakes, called a mutation, can initiate cancer. And the answer that they arrived at is very controversial. But they found out that the majority of the cancers that they study are due to random mutations. They're not due to anything wrong that anybody has done. Now, there are some that have to do with smoke from smoking or from pollution, so that is a factor. But the point is that sometimes we agonize. I remember in the hospital with a parent and a child had been born with a random mutation, and the parents felt so guilty that somehow they had given that to their child. And the truth is, and this is what Jesus tells us in a sense in this story, that stuff happens. It just happens. There is no reason why this happened. It just happens. Now, Jesus goes on to say something very interesting. He said, so that the glory of God may be manifest in this man. And now the temptation is to think, so God made this man being born blind so that a few years later, Jesus could come and perform a miracle and wow everybody. But I don't think that that's what he's saying. What he's saying is that the fact that he is blind, it's just a given. That's just life. That's how it is. The fact that some people are born with diseases, the fact that some people have to go through some difficult times, the fact that they're suffering and pain and death, that's just life. That's just part of life. But it is in those moments of suffering, it is in those moments of pain, that can become an occasion for us to see the presence of God, either sustaining us in the midst of that situation in ways that we later, years later, looking back, we ask ourselves, how did I go through that? It must have been by the grace of God, because I don't know how else I would have gone through that. Or we see some serendipitous coincidences, things that happen at the right moment, and we see the hand of God at work there, or somebody that comes to help us. And so those moments of negativity, those moments of suffering, of pain, of death, can become an occasion for the glory of God to be manifested. And so Jesus sees this man and approaches him. And then he does something really strange. He spits on the ground and then he makes mud. Now, this whole thing about using saliva to cure apparently was very popular in Jesus' day. I've read that there have been even treatises written by physicians on what type of saliva. It has to be fasting saliva and how to use it and what to use it for. So this was a very common thing in those days. And I think even today, some people still use saliva in some countries for the evil eye and things like that. But I cannot help but to remember another story in the Bible when I imagine Jesus kneeling down making mud. And, of course, mud in Hebrew is hadama. And hadama is what Adam was made of. And I cannot help but to remember God making the first human being from mud. And then Jesus puts this in his eyes and then sends him to wash in Siloam. And then he washes. And then I cannot help but to remember something that Jesus said 6 chapters before in the Gospel of John, something that we talked about 2 Sundays ago or 3 Sundays ago, when he had this conversation with Nicodemus. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he said, only those that are born of water and the Spirit can enter the kingdom of God. And so here you have this man that is being made again. Jesus is making him again. He is being born again. He's being born again of water and of the Spirit so that he is able to see. And what is it that he is able to see? Well, we see him facing the Pharisees. We see him facing the authorities of the temple. So he is able to recognize his own dignity. He's not going to let them trample on him anymore. He has been awoken to his dignity. He's realized that he's not a chicken. He's realized that he's an eagle, and he's going to fly. And so he tells them in this wonderful exchange where he says, well, that's an interesting thing that you're asking, or an astonishing thing that you can see, and then you're asking me, a blind man, who he is. I am blind, and I can see, and you, being able to see, are blind. Now, this man in the Gospel of John represents believers. This man in the Gospel of John represents precisely those that have been born of the water and of the Spirit, those that are being able to recognize themselves as children of God, and then to recognize Jesus as the Savior of the world, as the one that God has sent. And so, there you have it. There are before you 2 stories of 2 different eagles. And the question is, which one of those 2 stories is going to be your story? By the way, they were all eagles.